Today on Wings, a small victory for same-sex rights in Kenya.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
In 2013, Kenya's National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission was refused the right to register as a non-governmental organization. The group appealed this decision all the way to the Supreme Court, and finally in February 2023, they saw victory. In a 3-2 decision, the judges ruled that, quote, it would be unconstitutional to limit the right to associate through denial of registration of an association purely on the basis of the sexual orientation of the applicants. This ruling does not, however, invalidate Kenya's laws against same-sex sexual relations, which date back all the way to British occupation. For more about this court decision and the public response to it, Wings reporter Diana Wanyonyi interviewed Esther Nelima, a legal officer and health advocate with the HIV and AIDS People Alliance of Kenya.
My name is Esther Nelima. I'm an activist for the marginalized community, especially the LGBTIQ plus community. And looking at the ruling last week, it came as a win to an LGBTIQ plus organization based in Nairobi, where they really wanted to, for over a decade, they wanted to register as an NGO, and the battle was in court for all that while. So the issue was registering as with the name lesbian and gay, which looked at the current law that we are having, where it talks about same-sex marriage or indecent act under the Article 162, 163, and 565 of the Kenyan Constitution. Yes, which really condemns, as I have mentioned. So it was really a big battle that having these two names, the lesbian, the gay, in a name of an organization, it was really taken as defying the culture and the religion that we are having, and especially the law, as I have mentioned. Yeah, so it was a battle. And yeah, it came through for the LGBTIQ plus community. So the people who took it were the organization itself, the Kenya Lesbian Coalition, Gay and Coalition, that took it to the courts. Yeah, plus other interested parties. Yeah.
The results of last week, it was a win-win or it was win-lose?
So I will say it was a win-lose. Looking at the current situation related to that, because the LGBTI community are so excited, are happy about the ruling, because the freedom of association has been obtained by the community. But now, looking at the general community in the country or the society, feel like it is a loss to them, because it is looked at as a violation of, it is not really a violation, but it's looked as against the culture and religion, and again basing it on the law as said. Yeah, so that is why it is a win and a lose. Yeah.
And what does this win mean to this group?
As an activist or a human rights defender for the LGBTIQ plus community, I'll tell you this win comes in handy, because when you look at the Bill of Rights, when it talks about freedom of association, it says that every person should enjoy the right non-discriminatively. It says as long as you're a human being, irrespective of the race, your sex, sexual orientation, that is, your gender, you know,
your color,
your ethnicity, you know, all that is encompassed in that. It means that it is not discriminatory. It is for every person, every human being to enjoy. So when the court ruled in favor of that right, it meant that there was a fulfillment of a right to a community that is marginalized within a community, within a country. That is why it was a big win. Yeah.
As an activist, when a certain community is marginalized, what does it mean to them?
So in a country, when you talk about being marginalized, it really entails a lot, because already when you said you're marginalized, it means you have been set apart, or you have set yourself apart because of situations or circumstances, or because of perceptions within a setting. And it comes with a lot of stigma, it comes with a lot of discrimination, whereby you cannot access some services or you cannot enjoy some rights like other people, the way they enjoy rights who are not marginalized. So when you talk about marginalization, look at the health aspect. Accessing services, health services, you cannot walk into any facility and you say that you have an STI, for example, and when they want to find out how you got it, maybe it's from a fellow, for example, a woman, I got it from a fellow woman, it doesn't beat logic, because you'll be asked how. Yes. And you'll be asked questions, why are you doing this? It's not in the Bible, maybe it's not according to our culture for women to have such a kind of relations. I remember some few years back, it was horrible. They'll call people to come and witness and see. You'll see a man who has an STI, an anal STI. He'll be put there as a show. Nurses will call each other and say, come and see. These are the people I've been told about. As if they have horns, they have tails. But in real sense, these are just human beings like any other that are in the country. So the issue of marginalization really has brought a lot to the community itself, and not only to that community, but to the society and even the family where this community is coming from. Yeah.
Does it also bring fear?
Of course it does. Because when you talk about stigma, the perceptions, when people have perceptions about you, automatically it will bring fear. There are some mental health related issues that will lead to illnesses. You will be going to isolation. You will not want to mingle with other people because of the way you are different. You will not want to do a certain things like other people, or even accessing services where other people do access, because of how you're perceived. So it comes with that fear because of how you are perceived by other people. So you are engulfed with fear. You might, yes, be working somewhere, but you will not come out clean and tell people that this is who I am. You will not go into that detail, because the moment you do that, what does it do to you? You're going to be prone to violence. It is going to lead to a lot of what? The stigma will again go high. And when it goes up, you find people abusing substances, because substances is a symptom of mental health illness or disorder. Yeah. So all this brings about fear to a person. And again, looking at the law brings a lot of fear to that community, to the marginalized community.
Kenyan law.
The Kenyan law, yes. It brings a lot of fear. Because when you look at it, people interpret it differently. When people look at the law, they're like, the law says homosexuals are not accepted. But actually, that is not really what the law says. The law does not talk about the individual not being accepted. It's the act that is criminalized. I'll tell you, there's a lot of perception and misinformation out there. People are misinterpreting these laws that we have. And it is resulting to the fear that we have just mentioned.
There was a time some of them were being attacked during the day. In fact, some of them they were even going to hiding because of who they are.
Yes, the attacks. Mm. So I'll tell you, it has been really a journey for this country and the marginalized community, especially the LGBTIQ+ community. some few years ago, you will see members of the communities being attacked, being evicted from their houses, which happens when somebody is realized to be a member, maybe a transgender person, by the community or by the household where they are living at, or they are noticed to be gay persons. The next thing is you will make people in this building, you'll make our children become gay. So you are evicted out of the house that you are renting.
Without notice?
Yes, of course. Because their sexual orientation and identity has geared violence in different kind of ways. And as you shared the case of even in the facility accessing services, you're here as two people who love each other or people who are close to each other going to access services. What are people thinking about? You know, this is a normal human being who was going to seek for services. But now, because of the perceptions that we carry, the morals and the values, we tend to impose them to other people. And we are like, no. Why should two men be in a love relationship or come for services in that matter? You know, and that through questioning, it leads to people start thinking about these people are not supposed to be here, they're not accepted, or maybe it's a medical practitioner will feel, me, according to my religion, I cannot even touch these people. I cannot even get close to these people. That is violence. You are doing discrimination. You will not offer services to that person. The next thing, this person is going to run away. The person will go to hiding. And what is that? What does that mean? If, for example, they were HIV positive, what does it mean? They will not access treatment. You know, some of them will go to isolation. They might die of HIV-related illnesses because of the fear of not accessing the services. There's someone who else who will decide, because these people denied me with services, let me do whatever I have to do, you know.
You go rogue.
Yes. Somebody might decide anything given to the trauma that they might face. So, yes, it is true that the issue of marginalization has really, really increased violence in the country. Where people are being beaten, you'll find just somebody walking through maybe a bus stage and people will start mocking them because they are trans. Like, look at them, the way they look like a woman. Look at the way they are walking. They start mocking and laughing at you, sometimes even undressing them. There are cases of people whom, members of the LGBTI community who have been undressed. Yes. Who have been undressed, being bullied. People to confirm it is, if it is true, are they really men or they are women? So it stirs a lot of things, a lot of inhumane acts.
On Wings, you're listening to Diana Wanyonyi's interview with Esther Nelima on the topic of a 2023 Kenya Supreme Court decision stating people have a constitutional right to register non-governmental associations, regardless of their sexual orientation. Same-sex sexual relations are, however, still criminalized, and they are also widely stigmatized. For example, the film Rafiki, about a lesbian couple, was banned by the Kenyan Film Board. It went on to become the first Kenyan film to be screened at Cannes. Here are some clips from the trailer on the Toronto International Film Festival website.
Let's make a pact that we will never be like any of them down there. Instead, we're going to be
something real.
Yes, something real. Yeah.
Walk with me far above the horizon.
I wish this was real.
Lay with me.
Is it wrong for me to show you how I feel when
not.
I feel?
No, it's not.
I want my normal life back.
Lakini kilicho nishangaza, kuna wakenya ambao kidogo wanaishtumu serikali kwa sababu ya msimamo wao wa ndoa ya jinsia moja.
That last clip from Rafiki is an actor portraying a preacher who is shocked that there are Kenyans who challenge the government's stand on same-sex marriage. Since Kenya's Supreme Court affirmed that people of same-sex sexual orientation have the right to civil society organizations, there has been rising public backlash. Esther Nelima tries to educate leaders and the public on how such hostility violates minorities' right to health. Diana Wanyonyi asked her about the backlash.
What's happening now in Kenya? You see in different media platforms and social media, there are some group of people that have come up to reject the ruling from the Supreme Court. The religious leaders have come out. Some of the activists, some of the members of the parliament have also come up. What is your take?
Okay. My take will be, I will look at it as human being deciding to think or talk how they think it's the best way. Everyone has a right to express themselves. And I know people are expressing either their frustrations, because as we said earlier, it is a lose and a win. If you lose, in counseling they call it loss and grief. So people are expressing that out. And it is okay because it is a right. But again, within this right, are you overdoing your right? Are you violating somebody else's right as you're expressing yourself? That is something that I'll say people need to really be considerate when we are expressing ourselves. Because the moment you express, you say something that will make somebody go to hiding, something that will make somebody not access legal services, something that will make people not access health services. What are you doing? You are violating somebody's rights. So yes, you have a right to express yourself. As they say, it is in the holy books about the issue of sexuality. But again, the same holy books talks about love. The same books talks about acceptance for everyone. So if we are calling our fellow human beings lost, will we ever find them? If we hate on them, we make them go further into hiding, when will we bring them close to the love that we say it is the love of God? So that's my opinion regarding the reaction that is happening. That yes, it is okay to express ourselves, but let us look at the other side of it. If really the religion is against it, but the same religion talks about love and acceptance. Yeah.
Is it true that some of these members of LGBTQ+ have gone to the hiding even before the court ruling, especially here in Mombasa?
Yes.
People have been so harsh on them.
Mm-hmm.
So is it true that some of them have gone into hiding? They don't want to be seen. They fear about their lives and everything.
Maybe I'll pose that to that question. Today you hear people are against you. Will you walk in the limelight for everyone to see you? Of course not. You'll have to look for somewhere where you can find your safety. And we always say that your safety comes first beyond everything. So that is my comment regarding it.
We remember some years back, Uganda was too harsh on this group, and some of them had to flee. Now, do you think Kenya, we are going the same way?
I'll tell you for certainly sure, we are there.
We are there?
We are there. Given the social media that we have right now, you enter Twitter, if you're a member of the LGBTIQ+ community, you will not want to be in the same environment. You'll find maybe your neighbor, the way they're giving sentiments about the community, it's really disturbing. And currently, I'll not tell you if I have evidence or not, if there are people who wish to get to seek for asylum, but that is where we are. Because there are those, for example, people like the transgender, who cannot hide that they are not who they are. And it's very hard. It's very hard for them to coexist in the same environment, because each and every time they'll be remembering what they see in the social media, in the televisions, they see in the Twitters, in the Facebooks or the Instagrams, the hate about the LGBTIQ+ persons.
Even the comments on medias also, the comments, even they read the comments also.
It's very traumatic and damaging. It damages a person. You can imagine maybe this is a person in their family is struggling, or maybe already denied them. And then you're somewhere where you feel, at least I am here, this other world will not. But coming here, you see the world again. Everyone is turning against you. Where will you run to? You have to look for somewhere where your safety is. And of course, if there comes to an opportunity of asylum, I know people will seek for the asylum. And that time is not far. Given that even recently in Mombasa, we had a demonstration. And yes, and there is...
I missed that.
Yeah, there's a demonstration. There was a demonstration on Friday against the LGBTIQ plus persons. And these are stirred a lot of fear in the community, where some religious leaders and some youth groups felt that these people they are not accepted in this county. They are not wanted at all. The message was no to LGBTIQ, to their existence. What if that is your child? What if that is your uncle? What if that is your sister?
Even your father.
Even your own father or even your mother. Because yes, it can be anyone within our family settings. Will we also send them away? Though there have been messages on the comments on social media whereby people swear that if they give birth to a child who is like that, they will get rid of them. They will kill them. You know, it is so unfortunate that it is bringing such a hatred that is immense. Yeah, it's so unfortunate though.
Do you think Kenyans are ready to sit down and have public participation with this group?
That I can't say for now, because given the current temperatures, the temperatures are really hot. Having people to have a public participation with the community, this is not the right time for that, because there's a lot that is burning within people, and it is already out in the, people are expressing themselves, as we said earlier. So putting these two people together through the participations, it will be a bit risky. Maybe look for other strategies of dialogue where communities can have a conversation to understand first. Maybe a conversation of people to understand the rights, human rights of an individual.
Maybe the policies have passed, anything in the law, parliament, anything.
I'll tell you that our country, again, through the Kenyan Constitution, has been very supportive to every Kenyan. Why do I say so? The Constitution has given a leeway, it has given a leeway in service provision. And service provision, meaning all services, meaning the health, meaning the legal, meaning social services, because it's inscribed in our Constitution. And yes, there are policies, existing policies, on how services need to be given to the community, to the LGBTI plus community, or the members of the key population. Yes, there are policies that guide in giving services to this community. Yeah, through the government itself, through the arm of the government, which is the Ministry of Health. So I will say the conversation has started, yes. It started with the intersex. And I'm glad that because in the LGBTIQ, the I is the intersex. We can see progress in that.
There is progress.
There is progress because the intersex are now recognized as a third gender. And now giving others, it means it's giving room of acceptance. Because you remember, the services within our country are need-based. You cannot say you're giving services to a female. Yes, I am assigned female at birth, but I identify as a trans man. I'll be getting the same services. Of course, the services will vary because of my need. It is need-based. when you hear people saying person-centered, it means person-centered means that it is community-driven, and community does not entirely mean LGBTIQ plus community, but even the general population. So if you want to be objective, if you want to address an issue, you'll not hit around the bush. You have to hit it on the head so that you get the right solution. So if there is a need, so if, for example, you look at the HIV transmission and contraction, you will say if somebody has unprotected sex with an infected partner, they get HIV. You will not start saying that a wife and a man. You will look beyond it. Now, if this woman and man are married, do they have multiple partners that they are practicing with that puts them at risk? And if there are chances, then that is what you look out for. That is what you prevent. So you will not just assume this person is married. Let us stick at the marriage. You have to look at other relating issues that will cause someone to be infected. It is, yes, number one, I'm having unprotected sex, but not only with my wife or my husband, but I have some other partners outside there that I'm practicing sex without protection. So that is what I'm trying to say, that you, if you say you are giving a service to a woman, assigned woman, and assigned woman, maybe my services are family planning. I want to know how many children I want. I want the contraceptives, the pills. And here is a lesbian woman. That is not their, maybe that is not their need. Yes. Maybe for their need is wanting surrogacy or wanting adoption. So our needs are different.
I get you.
Yes, our needs are different, based on different communities.
Diverse.
Yes. That is why we are having interventions in the country. We are having different interventions. We have interventions for children, for adolescent. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sawa. Nilima, anything last? Your parting shot you want to say?
So my parting shot will be, in the middle of all this, as much as there is a win and a lose, we need to look at the bigger picture. There's a human being involved in all this. What is our role to ensure that these human beings are safe? You as a religious leader, you as a member of the LGBTIQ plus community, you as a cultural leader, you as a politician, you as a celebrity, what is your role to ensure the safety of this person, this human being in question?
That was Esther Nelima, a legal officer and health advocate with the HIV and AIDS People Alliance of Kenya, interviewed by Diana Wanyonyi for Wings. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose works can be found on the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.